Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 29th day of December 2020. And I am thrilled to have as a first-time guest today at the great enthusiastic urging of my webmaster, Eric Nielsen, Samuel Say, a Ghanaian-Canadian and the community liaison at the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, who is committed to addressing racial, cultural, and political issues with biblical theology in an attempt to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Samuel's words have been featured on the Statement on Social Justice, The Blaze, Relatable with Ali Stuckey, Breitbart.com, Challies.com, Alpha and Omega Ministries, The Ezra Institute, Wretched.org, DesiringGod.com, and more. And he is the host of SlowToWrite.com. Today we are addressing the new socially acceptable racism. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Samuel Say.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, sir. I'm pinching myself knowing that I'm on this show. I've been listening to the show for a long time with a lot of my heroes on it, and I'm very grateful that you have me, sir. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, and it's so great to know that, it's so great to discover that you've been listening for a long time and benefiting greatly from the show.
Mm. Yeah, I've relied on the show for a lot of determinants over the years, so it's, I'll be honest, I'm very nervous being on the show myself. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me, what are you doing here? Meaning, why am I even hosting the show? I'm sure after a reasonably short period of time, you will become very relaxed, knowing that this is just like a conversation between two brothers over a coffee table. And before we go into your personal salvation testimony, which is a tradition here, whenever we have first-time guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, why don't you tell us about SlowToWrite.com?
Yeah. I started SlowToWrite.com in 2015. It's been 5 years of it since I started blogging, which is surreal to me. I didn't think I could write 5 articles, let alone lasting for 5 years. But I started it because, at the time, like almost everywhere else in the world, a lot of my friends here in Toronto were embracing Black Lives Matter. And that took me by surprise. I was quite surprised about that. I knew that when Trayvon Martin was killed in Florida in 2013, that led to big discussions between my friends and I, and similar issues also here in Canada. And I never imagined that within 2 years that Black Lives Matter would become so entrenched in some people's minds and embracing it. So I thought, you know what, instead of calling every single one of my friends and just talking to them about, you know, these issues, I thought, you know what, let me write a blog. And perhaps by writing a blog, I can see the And so I started a series on Black Lives Matter on my blog, and eventually I just, you know, realized that, you know, there were bigger issues just outside of Black Lives Matter. You know, there was, you know, other things happening as well, too, within the church that I saw coming. And unfortunately, I didn't think it would happen this fast, but if you go back to my other articles, they realized that I was warning that these ideologies are going to become that much more prominent within the church. You know, unfortunately, here we are, especially after this year with George Floyd's death. So, yeah, so on the blog, I write particularly, as you said before, about racial issues, cultural issues, political issues, you know, hopefully with biblical theology. I trust biblical theology. You know, but of course, I'm also reforming at the same time. I've grown more theologically strong, I think, over the last 5 years. So, yeah, also, as you said before, I work for CCBR, which is the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. I am the community liaison there. I work with churches and pastors to get them more involved in the pro-life movement. And that really started because the more I was blogging about racial issues, especially about Black Lives Matter, I realized that the abortion issue is the biggest issue facing not just black people, but facing the whole world. There are 50 million babies across the world that are killed every year. And I want to repeat, 50 million, you know, abortion is the biggest cause of death in the world. And I became more and more convinced that I need to do something. I didn't want to just be a blogger writing on social media or on my blog. I wanted to do something to save babies, especially black babies. Since I had some friends of mine who had abortion, and I had the opportunity before to save them. But in my ignorance at the time and not being a believer at the time, I didn't know what to say. So I wanted to be involved now to save preborn babies. So, anyway, yeah, so that's my sort of write-up blog about abortion and all these other issues.
And can you tell us a little bit more about exactly what the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform does?
Yeah, so there are three camps of the pro-life movement. There is the political side, there is the pastoral side, which is more like the pregnancy care centers and things like that. And then you have the educational aspect, which is what we do at CCBR. We want to educate the church and culture in general about what abortion really does to babies. So we offer we're basically an apologetic group where we want to give people a theological, scientific, and philosophical basis to affirm that preborn babies are indeed human and they deserve the right to live. And you know, so when we go to churches, we share all these things, including also the gospel as it applies to preborn babies and how to react to that. And then also when we are out there in the streets, we also very much, one of the things we know is that so many people are either still pro-abortion or they are not actively fighting against abortion because they don't quite understand what happens to babies when they get murdered in the womb. So we show people pictures of aborted babies, and that's very controversial. I guess I like to be around controversial issues or things, but when people see an aborted baby, they see an aborted human. And when they see that, we've done research on this, and our research shows that 70% of people who see the images, they develop more negative feelings about abortion. And that's before we even talk to them. That's before we even share the gospel with them. So that's what we do at CCBR.
Praise God. Yes, in fact, I know a woman. She's actually the woman that led me to Christ in the 1980s. And she had a book of photographs, not of aborted babies, but actually of the development of life in the mother's womb from conception to moments before delivery. And she had a friend who was using crack. And the doctor was urging her to get an abortion because the doctor was fairly convinced that the baby would have severe brain damage or other negative effects from the mother's habitual use of crack. So she was all set to have this abortion until my friend Susan, who led me to Christ, sat down with her with this book of photographs, and those photographs convinced her that what was inside her was a human being, and she had the baby, and the baby was completely normal.
That happens a lot. Stories like that are praise God, common, but unfortunately, there's so many stories of your friend, like Susan, not being there, and because of that, many women and parents in general being manipulated into killing their babies because many of them don't, and of course, Planned Parenthood, they won't show these pictures of their babies developing in the womb, which leads to many of these women, who of course, many of them also have sinful desires as well, and wanting to protect their privileges and the life that they think they should have, and wanting to kill their own babies, but nevertheless, Planned Parenthood, they do manipulate many of these women into killing babies by making them think that they're not really human or their child, even.
Well, as I said before, since you are a first-time guest on Iron Sharpen Zion Radio, I would love for you now to give a summary of your salvation testimony, or what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances did our Sovereign Lord raise up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you?
So I suppose it has to start in Ghana. I was born and raised in Ghana until I was 10 years old. I grew up with a single mother who is one of the godliest and wisest people I'll ever know. She's a single mom because my dad left the family before I was born. My mom was pregnant with me. He abandoned my mom and myself in Ghana, and he moved to Nigeria. And we've never seen him since. We don't know if he's alive or dead. And I mentioned that because I was raised by my single mom and really raised by, raised in the church. My earliest memories are my mom and I walking an hour, to church every morning, and an hour back from church every morning. And, but this is, unfortunately, though my mom is a very godly woman, I was raised in a prosperity gospel church in Ghana and when I also moved to Canada. And yet, on occasion, the gospel would be preached even in this environment. So I knew as early as 5 years old that I was a hell-bound sinner. I knew. And that's because, perhaps without going into too much detail, I was committing sins that most would think only adults would be committing. I was involved in sexual sin from 5 years old onwards.
Wow.
So I knew, yeah. And that's really in large part, of course, because of my own human nature and my sinfulness, but also because my mom was working two jobs and working very hard and barely home. And because of that, I was not disciplined, and I was exposed to certain things that I shouldn't have been exposed to at a very young age. So I knew that I was a awful sinner who deserved the wrath of God. I was very afraid of death. I was, whenever I closed my eyes, I was afraid, because I would picture just knowing the darkness and afraid, knowing that, what would be the punishment of my sins. And when we moved to Canada, I continued the same sinful lifestyle. My mom was not privy to this, but nevertheless, she always, I barely missed church, if at all, every Sunday. And at one of these Sundays, a lady, introduced me to a young adult retreat from my church, and I went to this retreat. I was 19 by this time, and I was still living a very sinful lifestyle, sexual sin, and all that. And again, this is a prosperity gospel church. This is full of heresy, and yet, it was a female pastor within that church that preached a horrible sermon, but within that horrible one-hour sermon, there was just one phrase that was true, which is Christ died for sinners.
Wow.
And, I remember hearing that. I've heard that many times throughout my life. I've heard that many times. But that day, it just clicked. And I said, I'm a sinner. I said, Christ died for me. And right away, I hated, you know, my sins. And I loved Christ. I could not fathom doing anything else with my life without wanting to be honorable to Christ. I wanted to honor Christ. Christ, frankly, was worthless to me until that time, and all of a sudden, he was precious to me. And that, of course, is not because Christ is worthless. It's just because I, myself, was so blinded by sin that I did not see Christ's beauty, before my eyes. So all of a sudden, I hated my sins, and I loved Christ. And I had never read the Bible before, really. I would read it, I suppose, you know, with my mom once in a while at church. But when I came back, my Bible was so unread that it was dusty. I had to remove the dust from it all and even buy a new one. And I actually ended up buying from a deacon in my church. And I don't think he knew what he was recommending to me, because he recommended that I buy a commentary or a study Bible, that many of us will remember as the MacArthur Study Bible. I didn't know at the time what God was doing in my life then, but I bought the book, and I bought some other books as well, including the commentary as well. And the more I read, I realized that what I was raised, the church that I was raised in, or the prosperity gospel that I was raised in, I realized that was heresy. That is not the gospel. That is not biblical theology. So a year after my salvation, this is 16 years ago. No, sorry, 14 years ago. This is 2006. So a year after that, in 2007, I learned Reformed theology a year after my salvation. And then I'm learning that the prosperity gospel is heresy. And I'm learning that I'm actually a Baptist now. I'm not really a Pentecostal anymore. And that was hard for me because I knew that I had to leave my church. And this is the church that, over the last year, all my greatest friends and my family really were in. So I made a difficult choice a year afterward, praying and seeking wisdom from MacArthur's sermons and Paul Washer's and Charles Spurgeon, all of these men who had become my heroes. I learned that I had to leave my church, and that I could not become a compound Luther and try to reform the church. So I left there, and I ended up, since I didn't fully understand Reformed theology, I ended up going to some churches that said they were Reformed, but they weren't really that Reformed. And that was not trying to offend anybody here, but there was a church that was the Christian Reformed Church, the Dutch Reformed Church. So it was actually very fascinating. I was this Ghanaian guy involved in this Dutch Reformed church that was interesting. But anyway, they were moving towards a liberal theology. And then I ended up going to actually another Dutch Reformed church, a Canadian Reformed church, which is pretty similar to the PCA. They were strong, they were good, they were very helpful, but increasingly I knew that I could not stay there because I did not believe in baptism. So I ended up leaving, and by the grace of God, I became a member, after a few years at Grace Fellowship Church, which is pastored by my mentor, Tim Challies.
Yes, Tim has been on this program a number of times.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, he's been extremely kind to me. No man has ever been as loving to me as Tim has. Honestly, without him, I would not be able to blog. He taught me a lot about writing and just being a better man, but really also being a better blogger as well. So. Anyway, that would be my testimony.
Praise God. Well, tell me about your being drawn into the whole discussion of race and racism and the particular position you have taken. You take a very conservative and biblically orthodox and theologically sound approach to this whole issue. When did this start to offend you so deeply? And I'm speaking of things like the woke movement, critical race theory, and other things that the leftists have championed and really turned into a new religion. Tell us about your journey into opposing that publicly.
Yeah. I suppose the first time I became invested in this issue goes way back in actually 08, during the election, Barack Obama's election. And one of the things that some Americans may not know is that Canada is very much influenced by American politics and American culture. And actually, in many ways, Canada is shaped by American culture. So, for example, like I would guess 60% of our media is American media, both entertainment-wise and news media. So that has a big impact on us. So in 08, my church, which is a black church, is a Ghanaian African church, my pastors had fully embraced Barack Obama, and they were championing him as a hero. And that really concerned me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a minute. He is pro, abortion and pro, you know, several liberal values that my church would presumably not hold to. And I couldn't understand that. And I thought, wait a minute, you support him just because he's black? That's really it? I thought that, I believe it should be well above that. We shouldn't care about someone's skin color. We should just care about their theology or their ideology or their character. So that was the first time that really concerned me. I actually wrote an article on Facebook. Facebook they have, you know, Facebook notes, and I wrote a note on it actually talking about that way back, I guess 12 years ago. So that was the first time. And then shortly after that, in 2013, like I mentioned before, when Trayvon Martin was killed, I saw people moving more towards a pro-black sentiment that really concerned me. But I had always learned from, you know, men, you know, like John MacArthur and Paul Washer and Charles Spurgeon, James White, Phil Johnson, all these men I had learned. And then, of course, also through my pastors as well, Tim Challies and everybody else, on every issue, we have to look at what does the Bible say. So when all these issues are becoming prominent, and when Black Lives Matter is growing in popularity, and people are reacting to Michael Brown being killed in Ferguson by a cop, I'm thinking, okay, how do I understand these issues? It should be, well, what the Bible say and not what the critical race theorists say. So I can investigate what they say, I can read what they say, but ultimately, if they are against the scriptures, if they are anti-Christ, I'm going to align with scripture, I'm going to align with Christ. So that is how I ended up, you know, being involved in these issues and blogging, and especially what really, I suppose, helped me become, I guess, a more prominent voice was in 2018, when you had the MLK 50 conference and the T4G conference as well, where elements of critical race theory and liberation theology were being taught from these men that I admire. And then I started writing more prominently, more making that a more central focus of my blog. And that's how I ended up being involved in this issue.
Well, we're going to be going to our first break right now, and I'd like to give our listeners our email address so that they can join us with their own questions if they'd like. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Samuel Say right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, How can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little bit less than 90 minutes to go, is Samuel Say, who is host of SlowToWrite.com. Today we are addressing the new socially acceptable racism. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Samuel, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, a reading right off of your website, Samuel, you say that the most socially acceptable form of racism today is not white supremacy. It is critical race theory. White supremacist books are not bestsellers. Critical race theory books are. Richard Spencer's Racist Ideology, and by the way, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with him, and I thank God if they're not familiar with him, he's a neo-Nazi, a racist activist and author, but Richard Spencer's Racist Ideology did not shape widespread protests and riots this year, and it's not influencing academia, businesses, churches, and culture. Unlike them, ex-Kendi's Racist Ideology. Only one of these racists has been named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time magazine, and it's not Richard Spencer. Ibram X. Kendi is a history professor and the founding director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research, but most notably, he's the author of How to Be an Anti-Racist. Next to Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility, How to Be an Anti-Racist is the best-selling critical race theory book over the last year. Now, going back to the original statement here, that white supremacy is not the most socially acceptable form of racism today, make your case for that, including the other things that we mentioned from your quotes, and tell us about who Ibram X. Kendi is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that statement might surprise a few people, but as you said, you know, as you put it, you know, from the article, two of the most popular bestsellers, or the biggest bestsellers over the last year or two, have been White Fragility and How to Be an Anti-Racist by Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi, respectively. And just to be sure, I just checked just to see how popular Richard Spencer's books were, and they are not. I mean, they're on Amazon too, but they don't have a popularity. In fact, most people buy the books that are condemning him, and he would be the most popular white supremacist today. Yet he has very little influence, very minimal. Every institution today condemns him and his ideologies. On the other hand, almost every group today, almost every institution today, celebrates Ibram X. Kendi. In fact, many of them are adopting his so-called anti-racist policies, which are absolutely racist. In his book, he explicitly says that racial discrimination against white people isn't wrong. And it is not racism. If it's producing, in his own words, racial equity. By racial equity, he means racial parity, right? equality of outcome for black people. So, in other words, it's okay, even though you wouldn't call it racist, it's okay to be racist, to discriminate against a white person, so long as black people will benefit from that. That's racist. And yet, you have many people that are being influenced by him, not just in the world, but even within the church. And some of them don't even hide this. I always hesitate before I mention people's names, but I think it's helpful for people to understand what's happening here. One of the most popular Christian books on race over the last couple of years has been The Color of Compromise by a man named Jamar Tisby. Not only has he endorsed how to be an anti-racist, he's writing a book with Ibram Kendi. And this is what we have right now in society and within the church. And, of course, you also have other people, including Charlie Bates, who just wrote an article maybe a week or so ago, saying that in light of Alvin Mahler and the presidents of the SBC seminaries condemning critical race theory as being incompatible with biblical theology or especially the Baptist faith, he's saying that, you know, he's pulling his church out of it because he's embraced critical race theory. So in society, you have now a lot of people who are endorsing and embracing anti-racism or more broadly, critical race theory, which in of itself is all about wanting to discriminate against white people, because the belief is white people have a hegemony or a influence on people today that's oppressive. Therefore, the only way to remove that oppression, the only way to dismantle white supremacy is to discriminate against white people, to create parity and justice for black people. Now, not all of them will perhaps phrase it the way Ibram X. Kendi does, and because of that, he's got himself in trouble with some critical race theorists. In some ways, he's more honest than the other critical race theorists. The others might just say, well, we just believe in wanting to analyze and change or dismantle white supremacy in our culture. That's basically what they will say. But when you ask them for specifics, it will always come down to being racist against white people.
Now, they, those that promote the woke movement and cultural race theory and so on, they would insist that what they embrace as their own ideology is not racism. In fact, many among them will insist that it is actually impossible for a black person, perhaps they will include some other minorities that have darker skin colors, but it is impossible, especially for a black person, to be a racist. Now, this is mind-boggling, isn't it? This is a real clear example of racism, when you're basically saying that somebody is morally superior to others because of something as ridiculous as the melanin content of their skin. I mean, isn't this just pure insanity?
Exactly. Now, mind you, they believe that black people can be racist, so long as it's directed at other black people, right? Which I agree with. You can be racist towards every group. However, for them, they're saying that black people cannot be racist. Although it's starting to change a little bit now, because I think they're seeing more blowback. So Ibram X. Kendi says that, well, black people can be racist. But of course, he would not identify himself as one. He would say that they can be racist if they are not promoting racial equity within their racism against white people, right? Because for him, racism is all about producing racist ideas or policies that produce inequality. So they're changing that a little bit now. However, they would say that black people can be racist against other black people if they are not agreeing with critical race theory.
Right, just like they would say probably the majority of black police officers are racist.
Exactly, exactly. And very importantly, too, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they don't believe that racism has to be intentional. In fact, they would say that often it is not. They would say it's now, they believe that racism is not aberrational, it's normal. It's just the norm in society, especially the West. But it's the norm in that it's built into the system. It's just the culture, right? That way, you don't have to be an intentional racist to be racist. That's what Reverend DeAngelo says, that every white person is born a racist. Every white person. Which, of course, is in of itself racist. But she believes that by saying that, by, in her mind, admitting to that, she is being an anti-racist. So by accepting that, they don't believe that you have to be intentional. In fact, they believe that if you believe that racism is intentional, if you agree with the Bible, that it is partiality, that it is making distinctives amongst groups. If you believe that, that in of itself is racist. So it concerns me that so many Christians are embracing these ideas because it is antichrist. It refers to the Bible itself. In fact, there's a book that I just bought a few days ago, and the book is called White Christian Privilege, which is a complete attack on biblical Christianity, where it says that the West, especially America, has been built on Christian principles that in of itself gives a privilege to Christians, but especially white Christians. So Christians today who are embracing these critical race theory concepts of white privilege and all that, they are embracing ideologies that's really ultimately going to be our demise, right? And because the whole point here is not really to end racism. That's not the goal here. The goal is to use Marxist and postmodernist views to dismantle dismantle what they will refer to as white supremacy, but they really mean biblical values that shapes Western society to produce a socialist state. They won't oftentimes be as honest as that, but Ibram X. Kendi says that, you know, if you are not an anti-capitalist, you are a racist. So it's concerning that you have people within the church who are embracing these ideas. These ideas are not really new. They've been, you know, it started from Marx, and it's been progressing more radically since then. Believe it or not, there are people who are being much more, Ibram X. Kendi is much more radical than Karl Marx was. But the problem is, throughout the church, for the most part, we've always been rejecting these ideas. Now, the concern is, it's Christians who are, in some cases, being some of the most radical members of this. And that's quite concerning.
Yeah, it's especially concerning since, and you and I happen to be theologically reformed in our makeup, and knowing that this exists amongst our theological kinsmen, this is existing amongst those that profess to be theologically reformed Christians.
Yeah, and I think that's in large part because critical race theory is especially focused on dismantling the prevailing powerful ideas for truth. And I think something I've been thinking about for a while, because Reformed theology, Reformed people seem to be the most vulnerable people to this. That's for several reasons. But one of that, I think, is because Reformed theology naturally is diametrically opposed to critical race theory. So if you can destroy and dismantle Reformed theology, everybody else is vulnerable. And I think that is in large part why you see that. And people also naturally have known that historically a lot of Reformed people, now it was not just Reformed people, but because a lot of Reformed heroes did own slaves, and because some Reformed people were not actively teaching against segregation and racism, there is a bitterness that's grabbed hold to many people, and they are not, therefore becoming, you know, vulnerable to critical race theory. And nevertheless, of course, as a church, as the church, we are not perfect, and yet, you know, we are full of sin. Our bridegroom is the perfect one. But yet, of course, it was also Reformed people who abolished slavery. And while the Civil Rights Movement was not shaped by Reformed theology, Reformed people you know, we're very influential there. For example, you have Carl Henry, who was very influential, you know, for the civil rights movement. And I think sometimes we've hurt ourselves as we reform people by being embarrassed about our history. Oftentimes we talk about our history and we're always like, you know, it's so sad that we were not, you know, better than we were. Now, yes, you know, as a church, we're always going to be sinful, but we were the light of the world still in slavery. We were the light of the world still in segregation. And even now, even though the church, you know, should be doing better on abortion, we are still the light of the world against abortion too. We are always the light of the world. But when you change that and you believe we were part of the darkness, that we were not the light of the world, then you make yourself vulnerable to believing that critical race theory is right about Reformed theology and Christianity really being part of the problem.
And I'm assuming that there may be a part to play in the desire of many Reformed Christians to see more black Christians and even unbelievers to not only become Christian, but to see more blacks come into the Reformed faith. And perhaps because we have such a tiny minority right now, although it is growing, a tiny minority of blacks in the Reformed faith, there may be more of a tendency to try to appeal to what these Reformed Christians think will be a draw to more black folks. I'm just assuming that this may be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote an article about this. So if I agree with you, you must be right, sir. I'm just joking. no, but yeah, I've written about this, and that's absolutely one of the biggest reasons why. I was one of those guys who became Reformed, and we just invaded these Reformed churches. You know, many of my friends in Canada and America and the UK, we all became Reformed together, and, you know, we were, you know, always talking amongst ourselves, and we all joined these other churches. And it became very, I think, of course, to celebrate diversity. That's, you know, the Bible, you know, it talks about how, you know, in the new heavens and new earth, you're gonna have you know, all tribes and all tongues worshiping, you know, really singing the same song to our same Savior, and that's a beautiful thing. But when that was happening, I think a bit of a pride happened, where a lot of people were celebrating, kind of celebrating themselves for being able to, you know, to attract you know, black people, when it was really just the truth. That was just, you know, we were, you know, black people are not, we're not aliens. we are just as sinful as anybody else. And by the grace of God, we also desire truth just like everybody else.
In fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off there, because we have to get to our midway break. And folks, please be patient with us. This is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can air their own public service announcements and other things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron to Lake City, Florida. And while they do that, we air our own globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more faithfully, more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, and therefore they will more than likely want to remain our advertisers, which will subsequently mean that we will remain on the air for a longer future, because we absolutely depend on the finances that come in from our advertisers. So please try to patronize them as much as possible, and also send in questions to Samuel Say at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible.
HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a primary, a vital sponsor of this program. Without their financial support, we would likely not continue to exist. barring a miracle from God. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously from them. And I always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, I just want to make a few announcements before we return to our guest, Samuel Say, and more of our discussion on the new socially acceptable racism. Tomorrow, we have a mutual friend of Samuel Say's and mine joining us as our guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tony Costa, who's been on this program many times, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He is going to be giving an evaluation of the church in Canada right now, and with all the politically correct things going on there that have been seeking to destroy the church. And in fact, I believe one of Dr. Costa's friends was recently arrested because he refused to shut down the church during this COVID hysteria. But I hope that you tune in tomorrow for Dr. Tony Costa, and I'm sure that you will be blessed and enlightened. And also, on New Year's Eve, that would be Thursday the 31st, we have returning on the program Bishop Peter Robinson. And Bishop Robinson is the presiding bishop of the United Episcopal Church of North America, which is a very conservative, confessional, biblically faithful denomination, and a breakaway from the much more liberal and some would say apostate Episcopal Church, although there are some faithful congregations in the main denomination of Episcopal churches. It is really quickly, those faithful churches are quickly becoming further, fewer and farther between. So I'm looking forward to having Bishop Peter D. Robinson join us again. And we have not yet settled on a topic, but I'm sure whatever it is will be an enlightening experience for all of you listening. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you do not want us to disappear from the airwaves, I'm asking you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You could also mail in a check via snail mail, if you prefer that, to the address, the physical address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, you can advertise with us if you would like to promote something, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. And as I try to remind you every day, those of you donating to Iron Sharpens Iron, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. And also, if your family is really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please make sure your needs of your family are met before giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show obviously isn't a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money to use for benevolent purposes, you have extra money to use for recreational purposes, and going to restaurants, those of you who are living in areas that still have restaurants that are open, sporting events and everything else. If you have extra money that you're not using on that now, especially during the coronavirus pandemic, well, please use some of that money, if not all of it, to help us remain on the air if you do love the show. So please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. and give frequently and generously, and help us remain on the air, if indeed that is something that would please you. If us remaining on the air would please you, then please help us to remain on the air. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I do have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience from all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within just a few minutes of where they lived, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know that they were biblically faithful. So send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line, and God willing, I'll be able to help you find a church, or help you find a church for someone that you love who is without a church. Or if you're just looking for a church while you're on vacation, whatever the case may be, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Samuel Say. And we are discussing the new socially acceptable racism. And that email address again is chrisaronson@gmail.com. chrisaronson@gmail.com. I just want to make sure, Samuel, that you finished your thought that you were making right before the break. You were saying that the reason why blacks have come to the Reformed faith is because they were desirous of hearing and learning and embracing truth, that it was not because of any gimmick or other thing involved, and that's quite a sad thing when those that profess to be Reformed, who believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and the inerrancy of Scripture, would resort to the gimmickry that used to be the sole backyard, if you will, of the Arminians, the seeker-sensitive movement and all that kind of a thing. But we now see our Reformed brethren using gimmicks that would even include critical race theory and other things to draw those from the black community into our midst. But this is really a sad situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Just, I think, a week or two ago, Saddleback Church, which is pastored by Rick Warren, just had a black, I think they announced they're going to have a black, I don't know if they already had it or not, but they announced that they're going to have a black-only service, maybe virtual service, but nevertheless, still a black-only service, and that they said if you were white, essentially stay home. And I was thinking to myself, you know, if this happened maybe 10 years ago, every Reformed person would denounce it as just a seeker-sensitive approach by Rick Warren. But yet, you probably can't get that now because a lot of other Reformed churches have done the exact same thing, including major organizations having, you know, blacks-only type services themselves. So this is where we find ourselves now, where, you know, the new Calvinism or the young resident Reformed group, you know, it was really created as a response to the sensitive movement or the emerging church. And yet, unfortunately, by trying to produce multi-ethnic churches, which, by the way, I'll be very clear here, you know, I'm a black person. I go to a multi-ethnic church, and I love multi-ethnic churches. But multi-ethnic churches are not better than, you know, churches that are made up of only one group. It doesn't mean anything. It's a good thing if God calls for them. As Reformed people, we should realize that we preach the gospel, God provides the souls. And anytime you make an idol out of racial diversity or ethnic diversity, inevitably, you're going to want to try to maintain that or to increase that. That's what's happening. Where many people, I mean, really, I know it might sound harsh, but I don't know how else to phrase it. There's nowhere in the Bible where it tells you that you're supposed to appeal to certain groups. Preach the gospel to all people, absolutely, to all people. But God is the one that will bring them, if you are obeying Him, if you are being faithful, He will be the one to bring them to your church. But because many of us have believed we need to appeal to different groups, we are now in a position where we are very vulnerable and very tempted to embrace critical race theory to keep them in our churches, to keep them coming to our churches.
Now, let me have you clarify something about that. The church where I was saved on Long Island, New York, it was called at the time Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island. and it later merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick, Long Island, and became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. But back in the days when we were Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, the church was actually physically located in a predominantly black neighborhood in an area of North Amityville that was almost exclusively black, and yet our church was really white. And this did concern me as a new believer, and I approached my pastor and said, I think that we should have a conference with somebody that I think is one of the most remarkable preachers on the radio right now, and his name was Dr. Robert J. Cameron, who is now with the Lord. He passed away of colon cancer a number of years ago. But Dr. Cameron was a black PCA pastor who later became an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor. And we had a conference at our church, and we put photographs on a photograph of him on a flyer, which we had posted all over the community. And we did get quite a number of black folks visit, and a number of those families stayed and remained there well over two decades later. And I thought that was a healthy thing, and it wasn't gimmickry, because we weren't just picking anybody to speak at our church that happened to be black. This man was in theological harmony with us, and he was also an extraordinary preacher. But don't you think there is a right attitude to want to reflect the community that surrounds you? And if you're doing nothing to reach that community, that could be just as much of a problem as the other side of the spectrum being involved in critical race theory.
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked me to clarify that. Absolutely. Because the key thing there is, what is the motivation, right? So, for example, if, you know, say your church, for example, if they had reached out to every single person, leaving no stone unturned, and yet their church was still not reflecting the community, that is not a problem. If they're being faithful and preaching the word of God to every single person, but for whatever reason they're not receiving, more people of other ethnicities within their church, that is not something that they should be criticized for. Because our goal is simply to preach the gospel. We're not to expect, whom God will bring to our doors. And that's the issue I'm pointing to. Now, absolutely, we should go to every neighborhood. We should go to every single area we possibly can within our community and reach out to people. And there's nothing wrong with wanting your church to reflect the community. That is not wrong. Nevertheless, the goal is, you don't want a racial quota within your members. You don't want that. That's not what God calls us for. God calls us to love our neighbors and to serve them. And then we should pray and hope that we would never dismiss or fail to reach out to every single person within our communities. And then whoever God, after doing that, whoever God brings to our church, let's welcome them with joy. And that's what I'm calling to, because the other way around, when we say that our churches absolutely have to reflect our communities without explaining what we mean by that, then we suggest that it's ungodly if there is, either a black, almost all black church in a white community, or there is an almost all white church in a black community. The outcome doesn't prove, there is a failure there necessarily, if, of course, they're not failing to reach out to all groups. Is that helpful? Is that clear?
Oh, yeah. And it just reminded me of two humorous stories. One of them involves me driving home at night in my former town, which I just mentioned before, Amityville, Long Island. And I was passing by this church that was known to be a predominantly, if not exclusively, black church, and the parking lot was full. And I said, out of curiosity, I want to see what's going on in there. So I pulled over, and I go into the church, and they were having some kind of a special event there. And I was the only white person in the church building. And when the service was over, it was somewhat humorous that every single person that approached me afterwards thought I was a politician. Because they are only used to greedy white liberal politicians visiting their churches just to get something out of them.
Yeah.
And then the other occasion was when I was passing out flyers for an event that my church was having, and I was in the black community as well, passing out, going to churches, giving them, you know, stacks of flyers to see if they would hand them out and post them and so on. And this other church that was exclusively black, an elderly woman came out of the church when she saw me at the door. And she said, "Can I help you, officer? Is there anything wrong?" She assumed I was a cop. But anyway, we have a number of listeners with questions for you. We have Susan in Easetalket, Long Island, New York, who asks, "How does critical race theory help to deconstruct an objective value system in America?"
Sorry, for the question, please.
Yes, how does critical race theory help to deconstruct, and I just lost, I knocked into my keyboard with my hand and it disappeared, the question, here it is. How does critical race theory help to deconstruct an objective value system in America?
Well, immediately, it does not believe in that, right? It says that objectivity is actually impossible, and that actually part of the goal, they would say part of the goal of objectivity, the merit system in America is that it's designed, through hegemony, through the influence of America, either through the Constitution and through capitalism and through all the American values, especially just, you know, things like individualism, that all of that is created as a way to oppress black people and to oppress people of color. So the only way then to produce equality or equity or parity, the only way to be anti-racist, the only way to destroy oppression and white supremacy is to completely destroy that. And therefore, they embrace subjectivity, and especially our perceptions of black people. That's where you have the postmodernism that comes in within, within critical race theory, where really the only arbitrators of truth, the only people that you can rely on to identify what's racist is black people. This is where you have the concept of standpoint epistemology coming in, which is that only people of color, especially black people, who experience oppression. Now, of course, that's perceived oppression, assumed oppression. The people who experience that, they are the only ones who can identify and destroy oppression. So that's how they would deconstruct it.
Well, thank you, Susan. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program in Easetalket, Long Island, and beyond. And we have someone listening who I happen to have had as a guest on my program, and I have been a guest on his program, and that's Dwayne Atkinson, who is host of The Bar Podcast. And if anybody has not heard The Bar Podcast yet, you should start listening at thebarpodcast.com, thebarpodcast.com. And I have to constantly repeat this just to clarify, but this is not a podcast broadcasting live from a pub or a tavern, and it's not what the bar means, and it also does not mean black and reformed, although Dwayne Atkinson happens to be black. It means biblical and reformed. But Dwayne wants to know, when will you, Samuel say, start a podcast?
I chuckled as soon as he said his name, because before you even asked the question, I knew exactly what he was going to ask. this man has been harassing me everywhere I go. I cannot escape him. he's a friend of mine. Dwayne is he's a good man. I've been on his show as well. He's been very good to me. he's been trying to get me to start a podcast for a while, but and if I'm starting one, he's the one to go with. That's for sure. But I'm just as I told you before, I was so nervous. You know, you've been so good to me. You've made me very comfortable. But I'm still, you know, look, when I'm writing, you know, that's easy. I can edit things and all. That's all good. But podcasting is hard. I'm not as comfortable speaking in front of people just yet. But hopefully, when I'm more comfortable, when I have more time, when I'm able to figure things out with plans for my future and stuff, then I can perhaps consider it. It's something I am considering more, but I might have a more concrete answer later on. But tell him to stop harassing me, though.
Well, I guess he heard you himself. Thanks, Dwayne, for asking the question and listening. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who wants to know, I heard that tomorrow Dr. Tony Acosta is going to be speaking on the condition of the church in Canada. I was wondering, since your guest today is Canadian as well, if he could give his own 2 cents and compare the Church of Canada to the church in the United States.
Wow, okay, that's
And I would also, if you could, compare, let me put my own 2 cents in here, compare the government of Canada versus the United States in regard to any kind of efforts at oppression and discrimination against Christianity and ways that you may have been, or the church or churches there may have been silenced, or there may have been an effort to silence them.
Yeah. I suppose I'll start with the government first. So our government, so essentially, we did not have a constitution the way, you know, you guys do until 1982. Because we're still essentially, you know, now, we are a constitutional monarchy, but, you know, so we are, you know, a democracy. Nevertheless, we're still led by the Queen of England, which does play a role as to why we did not have because we were still very much being influenced and being led by the British Constitution. That's why we did not have one until 1982, essentially, to make it much more simple. Now, I say that because our Prime Minister at the time, and our government at the time, our rights essentially are not inimitable. The government does say that we have our freedom of expression, not speech, which makes it more vague, but our freedom of expression, of association, and religion. But the key word here is within reasonable limits. That's what it says officially. Therefore, that makes the church very vulnerable, and really it's all Canadians, but especially the church, very vulnerable to discrimination from the government. In America, while you guys are having increasingly challenges against the church there because of your constitution, so for example, when it comes to, the lockdowns, I know that the Supreme Court, I'm not sure if it was, I'm forgetting whether it was the federal court, or the Supreme Court, if it was just the New York Supreme Court, but I know that, you know, I think in certain places, especially in California with John MacArthur, where they've appealed to the Constitution as a way to say, no, this is going against, against churches and it's discrimination. Here, I don't think we can really have that challenge in the same way as being challenged in America, because the government has complete authority to decide what's reasonable and what's not, right? Because again, it says within reasonable limits. So, that's been one of the problems here with COVID, where, churches do not feel as free to defy the government, the way American churches are, in part because of that. Because they know that, unfortunately, our laws are not going to be as strong or firm in defending our rights the way the American churches can. Now, past the government, the church here, it's not as strong as it is in America, that's for sure. I'm by no means an expert on this, but I just know from my work, even as a pro-life advocate and talking to churches, that we are sorely lacking here in biblical truth. We have a major, major problem here where churches are, a lot of them are dead. Now, over the last years, by the grace of God, especially through my church and my pastors being very faithful and teaching truth, but also raising up other men to serve elsewhere, you have a reformation happening in some circles of Toronto and also in Calgary or in Alberta and in BC or British Columbia. So you have some churches that are growing stronger and stronger in biblical theology, and yet we are not as strong, to be honest with you, not anywhere near close as strong as Americans are. So I would tell Americans, I know things are difficult, but they should be much more grateful for their government and for even the state of the church as it is right now than some of them are, because it's a lot worse. It's a lot worse, even as close as Canada.
Well, thank you, Joseph. Keep listening in South Central Pennsylvania and continue spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Let's see here. We have RJ in White Plains, New York. And RJ says, is it true that there are parts of Canada where you would receive a serious fine by the government if you speak out publicly against homosexuality?
Theoretically, yes. Theoretically, absolutely. We have, and I think there may have been some cases, I don't remember the exact cases, but I think there have been some cases where there have been serious fines for that. There's also been arrest for, they would say it's disturbing the peace, essentially, at some rallies where people are speaking out against, something like a gay pride, event. Some people, I think, have been arrested for that, including some preachers. So you have that, and of course you also had, I'm forgetting what the name of the bill was, but Jordan Peterson became a prominent member in social commentary and politics because he was strongly challenging a new bill. I want to say Bill C-7, but I'm forgetting. But yeah, he was challenging a bill that essentially, theoretically, makes it possible for anyone who speaks out against homosexuality and especially misgendering someone, as they say, to be fined, and possibly if they resist the fine, for them to be arrested. So theoretically, our laws do make that possible, but it's not been as practiced just yet. But seemingly we're moving towards that.
Oh, and by the way, to clarify something I said before about my guest tomorrow, Dr. Tony Costa, I had said that he has a pastor friend that I thought may have been arrested for keeping his church open in the midst of mandates to keep the churches shut down. And let me tell you exactly what Tony said. He sent me a message that his close pastor friend was charged for keeping his church open last week, and he could face 1 year in prison or a $100,000 fine. So just to clarify what Tony said, and that's going to be a part of our discussion tomorrow here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, please send in your question very quickly at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Samuel Say after these messages from our sponsors.
Is your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists,
and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire 2 hours has been Samuel Say of the slowtowrite.com blog site. And we have been discussing the new socially acceptable racism. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Samuel on the air, send it by email as quickly as possible because we are rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, Samuel, I want to make sure before we take any more listener questions that you have about 5 minutes of uninterrupted time just to basically summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this subject.
I think, you know, one of the, I get a lot of emails from pastors and just, you know, really all kinds of Christians in different spaces who really, what they're really getting at when they ask me most of the questions is, how can I basically agree with critical race theory without losing my biblical theology? Because it seems to me many Christians recognize that what they are being pressured into agreeing with, they know it is not biblical theology. But they feel so much pressure that they want to, they're tempted to wander away from biblical theology just to adopt that and to embrace that. Because then, as we were saying earlier, they can have, depending on whether they're pastors or not, they can, you know, bring more, you know, people of color, so to speak, although I hate that term, but that's, you know, the term people use a lot. They can bring in more people of color into their churches. And what I was just simply saying, I said this in my article, my review of how to be an anti-racist, just believe God's word. Read God's word and believe God's word. If you read and believe God's word, by maintaining biblical theology, you will be more effective than anybody else. That by trusting in God and not trusting really in fools, and I don't say that as an insult, critical race theorists are fools because they are antichrist. They are challenging God's wisdom. And God is wise and God is able to make wise, you know, make simple people wise. I'm a very simple man. I am by no means an intellectual. But just by believing God's word and just by repeating what the Bible says, I know that I am wiser than a Ibram X. Kendi. Not because I'm more intellectual, but because I have a bigger intellect. By no means. It's just that I'm just believing the Bible. That's true. If that's true for me, that's true for anybody. And one of the issues here is too, this is one of my concerns. Intellectuals are the people who created white supremacy and racism. Intellectuals are the ones who use pseudoscience and philosophies to create white supremacy as a way to justify their evil. That being slavery, racist-based slavery. And today, the same thing is happening. It's intellectuals, it's academia, that is teaching racism through critical race theory to justify their Marxist views. And we tend to look back at history and we say, how is it, why is it that so many of our forefathers failed to repeat what the Bible says on racism and slavery and segregation? Why? Well, that's because they were faced with the same pressures that we have now, which is the pressure of going against the culture. So in the same way, if we don't want to repeat the failures of our forefathers, just believe what the Bible says and repeat what the Bible says no matter what. Because that's what we really need. We just need the most anti-racist book in the world, that being the Bible. We need that to be shared across the whole world. And unfortunately, every time I'm hearing people talk about racism and white supremacy, they're always going against God's word or ignoring God's word. And that, of course, is our problem.
Yeah, it's really absurd to think that the main problem in this nation, or even anything that's coming at all remotely close to it, is white supremacy. I mean, you can't even find, I've searched for decent documentaries, for instance, on the white supremacist movement in the 21st century. You can hardly even find anything that's not about anything more than a handful of buffoons somewhere who are wannabes or have actually no influence at all in their communities. It's absurd. Go ahead.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think I will. You know, over the last few years, there have been pastors who have not only embraced racist critical race theory, some of them have gone as far as shaming black people like myself, called using racial slurs against people like myself, actually, calling guys like myself a coon or an Uncle Tom or a...
Wow.
Oh yeah, this has been an issue. Or you will have even prominent pastors bragging about how they would hire a black person, you know, to be an elder if there is seven over a white, you know, candidate who is an eight, which is really actually racist, not just against a white person, but also against a black person, that you would think that because someone is black, just by that gives them, well, just even though they're, you know, in that person's mind, even though they're not qualified for the role as much as the other person, just because he's black, you will call him to be a pastor, which has so many problems within there, right? It's unbiblical in so many ways. Nevertheless, that's racist. You have this reasoning going on, and these pastors are not being corrected and rebuked for that. And yet, we all know if one of these pastors came out and said the N-word, that would be the end of their ministry. That would be the end. So that right there gives us a perspective as to what's happening here, where racist slurs against the right kind of black people is okay. But racist slurs, of course, against the quote-unquote wrong kind of black people, it would be wrong. Well, of course, they're both wrong. But that gives us a picture as to what's happening, where critical race theory and the racial slurs that come out of that is okay. Right? And, you know, so that's a deep concern as to where we're headed. And unfortunately, the church is being attacked from the inside, through this.
Very quickly, I understand that you are very impressed with a new book by my friend Thaddeus Williams, who's been on this program. Tell us about that book.
Yes. So actually, I'm one of the, he says we're co-authors, but I wouldn't go as far as that. I'm one of the contributors of that book. And I've not read the entire book yet. I haven't received my copy yet. But from the bit that I've read, it is fantastic. It is really, really good. There's some great books coming out too from Vadi Bokum, and I've read some parts of that book too, actually. And there's some great works coming, and absolutely one of them is Thaddeus's book, and it's really good in that it really gives a distinction as to biblical justice, or what he calls biblical social justice and worldly social justice from critical race theory, and how to confront injustice from a biblical point of view. And it's really good. I can't wait to read the whole thing.
Great. Well, we're out of time, and I want to make sure our listeners have your website, It is slowtowrite.com, slowtowrite.com. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.